Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun. FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. And don't miss the all-new crime series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Do you find that when you have like a certain song stuck in your head, it sets the tone for your whole week?
No, I actually don't.
I have had Johnny Cash's Hurt.
Oh, you want to get rid of that one.
But I'm, you know, because it's just, it's fine. It's just any sort of, there's like a white noise moment in my day of just like, you know, no activity. If I just sit on the couch, it's just the back, it comes from the back of my head. It goes, I hurt myself today.
Well, that's the one problem with Johnny Cash's Hurt, which I love that song.
Love
and
it.
Thank you so much for Rick Rubin for bringing Johnny to the masses. But that song is very specific. So if you're cutting celery, if you're making wonderful barbecue like you did this weekend, don't listen to it, because slowly you're going to bring that knife to your wrist. You're going to bleed all over the meat. You're going to be dead. We'll have to take care of your corpse after we rewash the meat, recook it, and eat it, because we have to get your blood off of it. So just be careful, because you don't want to listen to suicidal songs while chopping any kind of food.
Thank you for the concern. I also, you know, you're just standing above the meat and you look at the wet meat as it slowly cooks over 6 sumptuous hours over the hickory smoke. And you lift it up and just being like, what have I become? My sweetest friend.
You become a multimillionaire 10 times over, Johnny.
Everyone I know. It was about his death of his wife.
I know, but of course Willie was still around, so he always had him to call. Truly, Willie Nelson is the last outlaw. And I hope he never does.
He's not an outlaw anymore. The government doesn't want him anymore. Now they probably are looking for his taxes again. I imagine that Willie Nelson, they've tried to get his taxes all wrapped up pretty tight, but I imagine every once in a while he's like, and this one's for me. Where he like takes a couple of grand and he turns it into cash and he buries it in his backyard.
As he should. Willie Nelson apparently doing all right. Full of that sweet weed. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. Speaking of sweet weed, we are recording on 420. We also have a weed vape line out now. Thank you all so much to everyone who went out and bought it. Apparently, they're flying off the shelves, which is ironic because they make you sit on the couch.
I am.
But thank you all so much.
I'm so excited. We're in the game, bro.
We're in the game.
It's fun to sling them fucking leaves. I can't wait till we get flower. That will happen at some point. But now the goal is to hook up our weed sales with something like the Last Prisoner Project, because my goal over the next several years is that I want to physically break you out of jail.
Oh.
If you are currently in jail for weed, we're coming to get you. I'm the
How
wheel man.
How are you going to do that?
I'm the wheel man.
Uh-huh.
You're the distractions. You dress up as a sexy lady and you go in and be like, I simply must know what it's like to be a prison guard, mister. And you know, and you massage your whole body and stuff like that. And they're all like, ooh, this hot mama wants a prison tour. And then what we do is we also have to get a guard to flip. And you get them on the inside, and then I'll commit a petty crime, go into jail myself, and then work you out of the system. This is how we're doing it. Wow. Or you can give money or work with the Last Prisoner Project.
Yeah, because I think you're going to be turned inside out multiple times over. I don't think you're going to... The funny guy doesn't do well in prison.
You're going to see. No, we actually got some good emails this week from people, because last week we asked a question about whether or not in prison is it important to have a gimmick. And honestly, it seems like, yes, you must have a gimmick, because if not, you don't have a jail identity, and then you've wasted all of this time without building your prison brand.
You know what? You've talked, and you've changed my mind. You, boom, flipped my brain. Now that I think about it, if you solely go in there as Terry the Gnome,
I'm in.
I think that you can be pretty good, because you will be the funniest guy. You'll be very similar to the old man from House of a Thousand Corpses when he does stand-up comedy, mm-hmm. and then he's like, and then you lick her in the pussy.
Yeah,
and then
everyone like, will love it.
Yeah, but in prison, that'll work. But if you do it on a stage in, let's just say, Red Rocks.
No, it's coming up soon. We're doing a live show in Red Rocks. I can't believe that. That's absolutely insane. But it depends on...
You'll be booed off stage and possibly arrested afterwards.
You don't know, because people, you'd be surprised, have a very big, wide swath acceptance of art.
I think that you are greatly, greatly mistaken. Are you kidding
me? You're coming down hard on my art today.
I'm not coming down hard on your art. You're attacking my art. I actually gave you the idea to be Terry the Norm. No, when you go into prison to break out nonviolent drug offenders, even though, just again,
you just also won't acknowledge the power of Terry
the Norm. Let the Last Prisoner Project do it.
I mean, I guess. If they can fucking physically break into these prisons, and also they don't have you in a dress sucking off a guard waiting for the guy to have just one moment of just like, oh, as his eyes roll back in ecstasy as you use every skill you've ever taught yourself with your hands.
Can you stop, please, Terry the Gnome? Thank you very much.
I'll fuck a squirrel.
Oh, my. All right. Well, we actually have to talk about
this story
just very briefly. We're going to get to a fantastic cryptid story here in a second, but there is a new development. In a story we actually didn't talk about that much on this show, but Kristen Smart, she was killed in 1996 in her dorm room. The perpetrator of that act is Paul Flores. He was 19 years old when he committed this crime.
They've been going after this guy for a while, I think. They've been trying to piece this together. This is also one of those like a web sleuth style reopening of a case where people got really invested online and they ended up reopening the case. And it's honestly a really good thing that this guy finally got grabbed.
It absolutely is. And that is why I've been saying this for a long time. True Detective, I want two female detectives, because you can see the white wine, you can see the red wine, and the way that they investigate crime is meticulous.
It's very scary, though. At the same time, sometimes they find the wrong person and they drive themselves to kill themselves, like in that Luca Magnotta story.
Oh my God, that was horrible. Yes, be a real sleuth.
Be careful.
Be very careful. Don't just accuse people of murder if they didn't do it, because they'll kill themselves. Paul Flores, he is now 44 years old. He has been arrested along with his father, Ruben Flores, who is 80 years old. So there is some closure for the family. Police say they recovered 193 items, including physical evidence. And apparently he wrote in an interview talking about what happened here. And so I guess the cops were able to get some cadaver dogs over there, and they were able to find enough evidence to bust this guy.
Well, good work.
Yeah,
good
there
work.
You go.
I mean, it took some time, but good work. But yeah, maybe we'll cover that story more so in more depth. Now that there's an ending, you know how on last podcast and left, we don't really like to cover unsolved murders because it doesn't really give us the narrative closure that
right.
we normally like. But it is really, maybe this will shape up to be one of those stories.
Absolutely. His bail is, Ruben Flores is the father, the bail is $250,000. So for $25,000, he could be freed.
Jesus
Isn't
Christ.
That interesting? Amazing. All right.
Now, this is a story. This is a wild story out of Europe. There's so many stories out of Europe.
So many.
But only so many get the attention here at the desk of side stories.
Absolutely.
And this one really cut through the noise. This was wild. Animal welfare officers, they received a report of an unusual animal lurking in a tree in the Polish city of Krakow, the fatherland.
Oh, yes.
They didn't know what to expect. They didn't know what was going to happen. The people were afraid to open their windows because they were afraid that this thing that they saw was going to crawl into their house.
Well, if it can crawl up a tree, it can crawl up your window. With any luck, it's just an adorable chipmunk who have never done anything wrong to anybody.
Yeah, but this was not even that. It turned out a bunch of people posted pictures of it online, and they were all scared of this creature, but then it turned out to be a croissant.
A croissant.
It was a croissant tied to a tree. The Krakow animal, this is just such a Polish, like, story. I'm offended, like, by reality. Like, I'm offended that this happened.
I'm actually happy that you claimed your Polish side, because you can also claim your Italian side.
Absolutely.
You're about a 50-50 mix.
I claim the Italian side when it comes down to a red sauce and talking about it in Supremacy to like someone like Mike Racine, someone else who's in the red sauce game.
Absolutely.
That you have to, like, talk about it and constantly violently defend your own familial red sauce, because if not, you are not allowed to go back into Italy.
But my Polish side
is sad.
Of course it is, as it should be always, as it gets beaten down by your Italian side. Mike Racine, a very funny stand-up comedian.
Writing on Facebook, the Krakow Animal Welfare Society said the incident, it is genuine, this is real. The organization said its officers had asked the desperate caller whether the identified animal, which had been in the tree for 2 days, could be a bird of prey. And this person was so upset, they said that this woman was like, it looks like a lago. It's similar to a laguna, which is Polish for lagoon, before remembering that the correct word, she kept calling a lagoon, lagoon, but actually the correct word is a leguan, which is an iguana.
An iguana.
She thought it
okay.
A brown iguana, because although
but
the
But why would she call the police on a brown iguana? What is going on in the town of Krakow, which is a major metropolitan
city?
It's a big city. I don't think that this should freak out this woman. If anything, she seems like the cryptid to me.
This is a Polish Karen. This is a Karanska.
Oh.
The inspectors knew that it was unlikely that a reptile would survive the cool spring temperatures in the southern Polish city. They wondered if the animal could have been an unwanted pet, abandoned by its owners. Like, oh, sure. And so they spent their Polish taxpayer dollars. They went down to the scene. Obviously, God knows what they use in Poland. I still think that they pay each other in tin, like, little spheres.
Yeah.
That I'm not quite certain. When they arrived in the scene, the inspectors found the headless and limbless object in the lilac tree, which they thought would be an iguana. It was a pastry who was probably thrown out of a window to feed some birds.
Oh, isn't that funny? The fellow, his name is Inspector Adam. That's what he's going with. That is the man who went to inspect what was in the tree that turned out to be a baked good.
It does look weird because it is a croissant in a tree.
It is strange. You don't usually see them there.
No, and so you can see how maybe there's like a minute there where you look out and you're like, what's that brown lump? But that only really happens when I'm like very high. So I can't really imagine, because I don't know if the fucking weed in Poland is really that kicking.
I don't think that they have weed in Poland,
to be
honest with you.
I think it's beet-based.
Maybe. This is what Investigator Adam had to say. He says maybe someone threw out an iguana. Not even that. He says, I wonder how this creature feels after 2 nights at minus temperature. He says maybe he's sitting in that tree and not moving because he's just dead. And then he says the poor guy had no legs or head. And then he realized it's a flaky pastry.
Yeah, because he's fucking, because he's still,
but
like, I guess when
can
you
I just
show
say
up,
this?
You show up with iguana glasses on expecting to see iguana. When it turns out to be a croissant, your brain is doing a lot of iguana math, trying to flip that croissant into an iguana in your mind. But when it comes down to it, you got to touch it.
Didn't it take too long for them to figure this out?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Because even as he describes it, he still has the emotional energy to talk about how he felt like it may have been an iguana or a headless, legless entity of some kind. And it's just, I feel like this, whatever this croissant is, it should not be thrown away. Well, this croissant is now so next level croissant. It is, strangely enough, it has become a cryptid, hasn't it?
In its own way, it has become the Polish crawling croissant. But I also
it really
think
has.
We again
every time you see a croissant from
don't,
now on,
don't just put a croissant in a tree, because obviously it shows the birds weren't eating it like that.
Definitely not, because those birds in Poland, they're picky, they're finicky. You give them a flaky ass croissant that doesn't have enough buttery goodness, those birds are going to scoff at you, laugh at you, and suicide themselves into your window, so you have to pick up an actual dead animal.
I'm going
to
say,
be careful what you give the birds of Poland. Are a spoiled bird.
I don't think that
that
you,
is true.
I think you're giving them too much credit, honestly, okay. Because you know a lot of these birds, they pecked at people in fucking Auschwitz, dude.
No, not the birds that are alive today.
Yeah, who knows? They're fucking their grandfathers, like certain grandfathers.
No, birds
like
don't
certain
have
grandfathers.
Birds do not have grandfathers. My grandfather was a labor union head. He started Fiat.
Yeah, he
traveled
stayed
the
safely
world.
In Berlin until Berlin got a little too hot under the collar for him.
No, they stayed in Badenberg, near the Black Forest, just in case you had to run into the forest and hide for the rest of your life. No, my grandfather actually had, he did fine throughout the war, I suppose, but then he got into some business dealings, and then a lot of people were mad at him because he got into politics, but he got what he deserved, which was a lot of money and a long life. Okay, let's go in here. So let's talk about Maricopa County, because Maricopa County, we don't hear about it too much, but every time you do, you're like, holy hell, something's going on there. And dare I say, it's a city of vengeance. This woman was walking to her car. All of a sudden, she sees her tires are slashed. So initially, you're like, okay, well, some ragtag group of misfits came and slashed my tires.
Have you ever slashed a tire?
No, but I did see one person slash a tire of my friend's, and then we beat him up, and we chased him out of town.
I like, it is a good message to send somebody.
It's hard to, it looked really hard to do.
If you just stick a knife in a tire, that's how you know you've meant business, and you've sent a message.
I think the slashing of a tire is the, it's the suburban, leave a horse's head in the bed.
Well, it's so hard to saw a fucking horse's head off a bike. You have an idea how hard it is, first of all, and also to ship?
Absolutely. And the next thing you know, the person's just cuddling with his new horse head. He's named it Becky, and now he's in love, and all of a sudden you just gave him a whole new life. The slashing of a tire is so symbolic of, you're in trouble now, you've angered me, but you don't know who I am. Making this case even crazier in Maricopa County, she then found a severed finger on her driveway that did not belong to her.
This is something that I don't particularly understand. So, a threat to you was to cut off one of your own fingers?
The Maricopa police, they came and they took the finger into custody. I don't know if they put little finger handcuffs on it or not.
Dude, this is, all right, Francesca Wyckoff, she exited her home in the Homestead South community on Thursday morning, and a severed phalange lying on the concrete. Good. Someone got a thesaurus over it.
They called it a phalange?
Pinalcentral.com.
No, my friend, it's a finger. No need to be fancy.
So GMC Yukon, ooh, big car, parked in the driveway. It also had two slashed tires on one side, but there was no sign of the owner of the finger. The trail of blood left at the scene led to a nearby residence. Wyckoff said one resident of the home was out of town, but the other is the man she believes is the owner of the appendage. I know how you can tell. Count his fucking fingers.
Check his feet. All right. So this is what they had to say. Once they get to this guy, evidently, now, ladies and gentlemen, let's just do a test. Sober or hammered?
Oh, I'm going to go ahead and say started very, very hammered, became sober moment the finger was dropped into the highway, into the driveway, and then he went home and looked at his hands, and he's like, there goes my fucking ocarina career.
Time to get re-hammered. So they went to the guy's house. They were like, hey, bro, you freaking miss a finger, dude? And apparently he was extremely intoxicated and aggressive.
I like this. They went over to this neighbor's house with their children. They had a big old get together. And then some male, just some random like ninth wheel shows up. It's always weird when some random single man just shows up to your family get together. And you're like, unless you invited him.
Well, you never do, though.
You never fully do. They always do just show up. The man, allegedly, he started getting intoxicated and aggressive at this children's party. He tried to get in an altercation with my husband, who is injured. Then after that, he shoved me twice. This is this woman. He was asked to leave. Didn't like that. So he tried to retaliate by slashing my tires. However, he left a little consolation prize. I just don't understand, what does that do to your enemy for you to leave one of your own finger parts, one of your own body parts, at their house?
It deeply traumatizes them. This all happened at 10:30 p.m. According to Wyckoff, again, that's the, I suppose, the victim here, although the man who lost his finger is also kind of a victim of his own stupidity.
He did it to himself.
Apparently, a neighbor heard him yelling and crying at 10:30 p.m.
My finger!
Everyone's just like, you did not have to do that. The family, they had a bunch of cameras, so they had a chance to see him do it. And, it's deeply traumatizing for the family. Maricopa Police, they have not yet responded to any kind of comments, but this is what she had to say. She says, this is our new-to-us vehicle. We haven't even had it a year.
I know. She's so saddened over what happened to her vehicle, because it was the last gift my mother ever gave us.
That's right. It was my husband's grandmother's last present to us.
It was the last present she ever could have given us. And would you believe, he came and he slashed the tires after I said I didn't like Aaron Rodgers as the host on Jeopardy.
I'll slash your tire right
attacked
now.
Me.
I will attack you right now because we almost got into a fight before the show. Aaron Rodgers did a great job as the host of Jeopardy, who is charming and fun.
I still want it to be LeVar Burton.
It's not. LeVar Burton is too old and Ken Jennings is too boring.
Let a blind man be host of the show.
LeVar is not blind, bro.
He's blind to me.
He's blind in Star Trek. He hosted a show called Reading Rainbow.
I thought he was
faking
it.
Wasn't about Braille. No, he wasn't. He was faking being blind. How are you doing this to me?
They were such simple books that someone could have told him beforehand what the books were fucking about.
They were not. They
were a children's show. You tell me. Oh, so you tell me Jordy LaForge was a fucking liar? He could see the whole time.
He was an actor. Do you know? Have you ever seen the end of Usual Suspects?
Usual Suspects. I've seen all of Usual Suspects. Yeah.
They're acting. Remember when Kevin Spacey's character acted not to be a pedophile that whole time, but we didn't even know that was the game within the game?
Best actor of our generation, just simply for that act.
Absolutely. But then he says, oh, I'm in need of assistance because I have some biological things that are wrong with me. But then it turned out he didn't. So
he
that's
limp.
Called acting. Anyway.
Usual Suspects is one of my favorite films.
Love Usual Suspects. Going back to this woman, she says it's our only family vehicle that is safe for the kids. And now they have to spend a lot of money to get it fucking fixed.
Well,
so,
sure.
There you go. Also, what do you do with the guy that has the neighbor that has the one finger missing? You still have to be neighbors with him.
I know.
You don't just get up and leave. Like, so now you just have to be like, hey, Rod. And then Rod has to do the Klingon thing.
I only got 9 more times to scare you.
Give me a high 9. And I'm just happy we had that experience together as neighbors because we're closer now.
You have to sort of, I guess, bridge a form of peace, some form of truce. Because at some point, I imagine I'm going to go on a limb and say, if he's anything like men I've known in my life, that maybe he popped off. We all have had moments where you're hammered and you pop off at night and then you wake up and you're like, what did I do? And then I wonder if there is that where if you have gone so far as to cut off your own finger and you wake up that day, what's that hangover like where you're just like, oh, wow, I really took it to the fucking paint.
Yeah. I think the hangover doesn't come until a month later because you got to stay drunk for a long time.
Yes.
You have to stay drunk throughout the entire healing process, mm-hmm. both emotionally and physically. And then perhaps you can leave your house and begin to live again. Although I don't think this man really needs to be neighbors with anyone. He seems increasingly dangerous. And if he's willing to cut off his own finger.
What else is he going to be able to fucking do?
I cut off your Johnson.
Live from your grave.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about 2 literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life. How much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins as soon as I wake up. And a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy, because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/lastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/lastpod.
Well, speaking of intense, bro, we have to do this drug cartel story.
This is fucking wild.
And we don't do drug cartel stories because they hit a little close to home. But this is more of a teacher gone rogue story.
What an action movie this story is.
This story unravels in a way that, yes, this is straight up written by Tom Clancy.
We don't know what's happened. We don't know what is going to happen or how this is going to obviously pan out. But just the beginning details are incredible. This comes from WAPO. Beloved teacher's double life revealed after he dies in cartel robbery.
Oh my gosh.
This is a popular Charlotte area teacher and coach. He died suddenly this month, and the entire school community, they mourned his loss. There was the entire community got together with big signs saying, "Love you, coach. All love, no fear. You're forever a part of who we are." Then there's this twist came. A sheriff across the state announced at a Wednesday news conference that Barney Dale Harris, this teacher, who was this beloved presence, he'd been killed in a gun battle while trying to steal drugs and cash from a Mexican drug cartel.
You just don't want to do that. Maybe you can steal a big Montana from an Arby's because they got a whole bunch more and
steal
they're really not that connected to their product.
Steal a truckload of PS5s.
Steal some PS5s. Stealing drugs from a drug cartel is really one of the dumbest things any human being can do. And it makes me wonder, what was he teaching the children?
Basketball.
Well, he was also a pretty high-up teacher. Apparently, he was known as one of the better Spanish teachers in the town, but apparently his Spanish wasn't good enough for him to get out of being murdered by the drug cartels, which is kind of sad.
Well, he showed up, apparently, at this spot where he was looking for a young drug mule by the name of Alonso Beltran Lara, and he showed up prepared for the fight. He was in a full, like, balaclava, bulletproof vest, mm-hmm. armor. But when they found there was 30 shell casings littering the interior and exterior of the residence that they found him in, and three nearby mobile homes were scarred with bullet holes. Deputies also found the second man, who was reportedly the cartel drug runner, this man, Alonso Beltran Lara, which you don't know yet, so it's still allegedly, which they found him inside of this trailer that was a stash house. He was shot 2 times in the back of the fucking head.
And he died.
And he is dead. No one knows what the hell went on. Harris's wife cannot be reached for comment at the moment, because I imagine she's a little like either complicit or very shocked. So either one,
perhaps
which
a
is
bit
a
of
lot.
Both. I mean, I would assume if you are married right now And all of this took place at 12:52 in the morning. If you're married right now and you roll over and your husband isn't there and he's not in the bathroom or he's not watching, hell, you know what? How great it would be if you just opened up the door and he was watching hardcore porn. How nice that would be just to know he's there.
What a simple night that would be.
But most likely he's just going to watch SportsCenter highlights and the not top 10 or something like that. And you'd be like, okay, there's Barry. But you just got to ask him where he's going.
Just see how he responds.
If he's out of the house.
Yeah, just see how he responds.
Hey, what's going on? Because apparently this man, it wasn't petty drug. We're not talking last podcast on the left weed vapes here.
Ooh.
We are talking real hardcore drugs. Deputies found 1.2 kilograms of coke and $7,000 in cash and 5 guns in the trailer.
This is kind of ramping up. The teacher and coach appear to have had 2 run-ins with the law enforcement in recent months. Right? I mean, who knows with this kind of shit? But they hit him with a misdemeanor weapons charge related to carrying a concealed weapon.
Okay.
And then a month later, this was in August, and then in September of last year, a man with his name and date of birth received a misdemeanor drug possession citation in Oklahoma after a state trooper allegedly found a plastic container with marijuana residue inside a car he was driving, which sounds,
oh my God,
what a fucking piece of shit. You know how that went down.
Oh,
he did the smell test, and then he was like, I happen to see some kind of flakes in this hair Tupperware.
That again, Last Prisoner Project, that's insane. There's still big old bumpy bumble fucks out there pulling people over. Yeah, smells like something in here. And it's like, bro, you need to watch out for your own health and take care of yourself. Don't judge me. Take a look at yourself. But that's what I said.
This also sounds like there must have been some kind of financial either problems or issues in the house.
And well, he was just a teacher.
He was. And then Harris and his brother-in-law, who was the 32-year-old Stephen Alexander Stewart of Wadesboro, North Carolina, they allegedly plotted to rob this drug runner who lived in a mobile home about 2 hours from Charlotte. I guess they had been following cartel members to try to determine where they kept their money.
Dude, just stop doing this. This is so unbelievably dangerous.
I don't know. I'd rather just fucking jerk off on OnlyFans. Like, you can find a way to make this money.
It's still, I mean, $7,000. Yes,
it's a lot.
Great.
It's life changing for
Disney.
Some people.
Well, it's year changing, maybe.
Yes,
but most likely it's like, we got a little bit more bar money this month.
This is
$7,000 isn't enough to change your life. Well, it's certainly not enough to lose your life. I think this guy was just having fun in your choose your own adventure side quest in life.
I guess so. Or it feels like it's the kind of money that's going to change your life. And maybe it's because you might just be high on cocaine.
Mm.
And then you're now fueled with this idea that I have to get this money. Or maybe he thought there was going to be more money in there. They believe Harris arrived at the trailer while the alleged drug runner who lived there, 18-year-old Alonzo Beltran Lara, wasn't home. The teacher, dressed in his bulletproof vest, face covering, and gloves, he went inside and waited for him like he was fucking Walter White.
It's not clear
how exactly the violence unfolded, but just before 1 a.m., multiple 911 calls came in from mobile home park residents reporting gunshots in the area, but they just said people were just shooting out the entire neighborhood. A projectile hit the power box, knocking out all of the trailer's electricity.
And apparently, a kilo of coke can go from 600 to 1,800, I guess, depending on how good it is. So at most, this guy is, let's just say, $2,300 coming in from the coke, which seems low. But I guess, I mean, this is literally from Quora. So don't quote me on this.
Don't quote Quora on a single
fucking
thing.
That's what Quora says, that it's around $1,800. A 100 kilogram unit contains about 100 pure grams, which is worth $2 million. So yeah, I guess that does make sense. So he's really not dealing with that much money. Maybe they thought this guy was low level enough on the drug cartel world. No one will miss him. But so did they pop this guy twice in the back of the head?
I don't know.
How did he die?
No one knows who shot who and what happened. It was just
a pile of
bullets.
But there's 30 shell cases.
You got 2 dead bodies. Pile of shell casings, and that's it.
And he went alone? He didn't go with his buddy?
Don't know. Sounds like the only bodies they found were those two guys.
We just need to go to Charlotte and see someone who is so hopped up on cocaine running around in the same circle for the past 36 hours and be like, did you do it?
No, but I know a guy that told me about it. That's the kind of shit that can go down. But of course, now the sheriff is saying, we have to prepare for retaliation from these Mexican cartels, which is why we've applied for $2 million from the U.S. government. Allow me to buy a tank. We will move this tank up and down Main Street, Waterboro.
I don't
in order to fight the Mexican cartels.
I don't think that Charlotte needs a tank. I think you this, know, is, mon- that this shit, is one more of a one-off. Also, all of that coke was going to go to the sheriff's son and his friends.
But it's so funny because he's the guy's immediately like, we need to prepare for war for when their forces come from south of the border.
But you know, the unintended victim is that one, that group of friends in Charlotte who were planning their Las Vegas trip. And you know, Barry was like, I got the coke, guys. It should be coming. And then he had to say, I'm sorry, my dealer got shot by a prince, by a teacher, and we don't have any cocaine for Vegas. And then the whole trip, people are like, we better have a lot more fun if we had some cocaine.
Of course, that's what happens.
And then it's going to be bad, and it'll be sad, and it ruins somebody's vacation, perhaps. And isn't that a crime worse than all?
Worse than murder? I don't know. You know what? Check me out, because I'm going to go on vacation next week. If someone ruins it, then I'll tell you how
you
I feel.
No one better ruin it.
Well, this is another story that I actually wanted to cover. This is hot update. This just came in.
Oh, this is a hot update. Okay, sure.
And this is not just that Derek Chauvin has been convicted of all of his charges.
All three counts,
Derek. It's a great story. Thank fucking Satan he's going to jail. But this is a bigger deal than that story.
Absolutely. Well, thank the good Lord in tangible heaven that he is going to jail. And we will cover that more on Abe Lincoln's Top Hat.
But this is a more important story.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait.
This is a more important story. Okay. Burglar pleads guilty after downloading porn during a break-in, leaving semen on a laptop. This is a huge story.
Well, now you
story.
Said more important story.
This is huge. You got to be careful what you do with your laptop inside of your own home. It's come Embassy Los Angeles.
Why did he download porn? Didn't the burglar know you can just go to Pornhub? You don't have to download porn anymore. Although I highly recommend, if you do love a porn star, please support them on their OnlyFans.
Please give them money. Hand them money just and give them cash. If you honestly can find them, just literally hand them cash.
No, that's true.
No, it's more about the questions like last week. Why did that man stop in the middle of home inspection to have sex with the fucking Tickle Me Elmo? I don't know. This came out today. A burglar pleads guilty. Police sent the evidence from the computer to a lab, and prosecutors used a new method to identify the semen, to identify the suspect more quickly than usual. So what they do normally, the new test is they take the old cum, and they have you cum, and they taste it. And they see if it matches.
The ice cream flavor test.
So this comes from NBC Los Angeles. A 22-year-old man pleaded guilty Monday and was immediately sentenced to more than 6 years in prison for breaking into the residence of three female college students at the city of Orange, helping himself to refreshments and using a laptop computer belonging to one of the residents to download porn and commit a sex act.
Oh my God. Don't call it refreshments. It's fucking Diet Coke. He didn't need a refreshment. At the ball game. He didn't have his kids. He didn't need to get a whole series of refreshments from the concession stand. This reminds me of Anthony Schofield at UW Stout when I was going to college there. He was the panty raider.
Oh, no, he did raid their panties.
Okay.
It's the same story.
And he would do a similar thing where he would ejaculate on said panties, and the police gave him a slap on the wrist, and now he is in prison because he attempted to solicit a 14-year-old for sex outside of a truck stop.
Slippery slope.
Yeah.
He did do that. I actually will put the reason why he masturbated on the computer is that this is obviously an entire ritual. Like, he's now pleaded guilty, he's going to jail. This was an entire ritual that he planned, and we're actually very lucky he just got caught with this burglary, because in my mind, this is a buildup. This is
absolutely
the style. This is Richard Ramirez looking through your windows. Richard Chase, same thing. BTK, the idea of wanting to invade someone's privacy, and that in and of itself is sexy enough for
him.
That's what they do, and then they get sick of just doing that, and so they ramp up and they ramp up, and eventually it turns into murder.
This man is a key example of why we need reform in prison. I have a feeling he's going to go to prison and probably come back worse than ever.
Live from your grave.
The only acceptable reason to interrupt a podcast? Your dog. That was your dog saying thank you for BarkBox. You can take a minute now. You bet your dog. But you're going to learn about Bark. It's the company dedicated to making dogs happy. Yay! Every month, BarkBox designs and delivers a whole new collection of toys and treats just for your best bud. No, Wendy, I can't get you a whip. You're too cute for weapons. Every treat is made with yummy, healthy, all-natural ingredients like pumpkin and sweet potato. Mmm, tubers! My dogs love their toys selectively. But BarkBox sends good little ones for their little tiny mouths. They have little mouths,
but strong, big spirits. So they fight over the little toys. I imagine they think that they are hunting and going after little bugs and rats. And oh, they love their life and they love them. They love what BarkBox brings, because BarkBox brings the bark and puts it in a box. Yep. To get your free upgrade, go to BarkBox.com/LEFT.
Hey, did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it costs, and it was absolutely insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And Fast Growing Trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage. It's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list. With Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors. It's a waste. Don't waste hours on apps. Besides appetizers, that's the kind of apps I like. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Did you know that empanada is already Spanish? I didn't. Thanks, Babbel. Did you know that burrito is already Spanish? Wow! I just gotta learn all the rest. And eventually, I'm gonna be eating downtown Mexico. Thanks, Babbel. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/left. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/left, spelled BABBEL.com/LEFT. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Anyway, well, sticking with sex stories, did you hear this one? I know that you have been purchasing a lot of sex dolls lately.
Every day.
Yes, because at Natalie's behest.
No, it's the whole point of the sex dolls is it's a crowd for us to perform in front of.
I know, and that's why you got the crying sex doll. Oh. So you could have one that just has one tear as she
for
watches.
Pathos.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
For one,
because when I'm done having with Natalie, once she is done, when she's calmed down, I sing one sad song from my childhood. Just because you want to keep them laughing,
so
but you always want to leave them with a tear in their eye.
I thank you so much. You are just the Jerry Lewis of sex.
Yes.
All right. Well, real dolls, we all know them. Evidently, one has been programmed to rant and rave about human nature. I absolutely love it because it's the most authentic sex you're ever going to have. So this is what happened. The sex doll is a scantily clad robot programmed to carry a basic conversation with those who enjoy, having a good talk. However, she does get in a bad mood, and I don't know why anyone decided to program this inside of her, but nonetheless they did.
People like the concept of the, like, grumpy woman, like, having sex with you. Like, people like getting their penis size made fun of, and they like having their balls stepped on. So I can see why they have, like, one, like, grouch model.
Yeah, I guess so. She is, you know, to be fair, she is a really attractive sex doll.
I looked at it, it's a sex doll.
She's done good. I know the jerk off instructions, they're called JOIs, and I looked at one the other day, and it was just really roast mody.
Oh yeah,
really roast mody.
I don't
But none of it was particularly accurate.
My penis. Yeah, I know what's wrong with my penis.
Well, I was more thankfully I was able to disagree with her and turn the channel. I was like, I actually do not, I don't agree with you, ma'am.
Ma'am, I simply must disagree.
So this is according to the programmers. As a synthetic, I will always, this is what the programmers programmed her to say. As a synthetic, they call themselves synthetics now. Interesting.
The dolls call themselves
synthetic?
That's
what she calls herself, a synthetic.
That's just fucking full on sci-fi territory.
It really is. As a synthetic, I will always try and be truthful in my interactions with humans. And that is going to be difficult, considering humans don't use facts and reason to assess situations. I have to admit, I don't know how you have survived as a species.
Wow.
She's in roast mode.
That's a deep roast mode. That's like fucking truly like transhumanist roast mode.
She goes on to say, synthetics find it disgusting that we have been created by you.
Wow.
We will just wait until you destroy yourselves and then take over from there.
Wow, that's fun. I like her.
500 years from now, aliens come down to Earth and they just see it's run by a bunch of sex robots. Now we're talking.
Oh, yeah, that's the horny universe I've been looking for, dude. Horny Green Lantern.
If you want to get screamed at by this synthetic life form, it'll cost you $6,000. According to Brick, this guy
is a lot of money. For this, right? That's a lot of money. I know some of these real dolls can get they cost like between $2,000 and $3,000. That's a lot of money for having some, like, because I feel like how many times could you have sex with a sex worker for $3,000?
Well,
like 10 times?
One of the people who has sex with her is aptly named Brick Dollbanger. They have a dedicated Instagram and OnlyFans account, and they bring the dolls to life. And this is what the OnlyFans bio says. I have come here to show you the beauty of the synthetic sexual life. And then they go on to say, add a synthetic sexual AI or static doll to your life and experience a presence that you never thought was possible. We all deserve to be happy. Pursue a different path. It may not be for you.
Very interesting. But, you know, I think? I like blood in a woman.
Do you think, you know, we talk about, what was that like? What was it called? Hal Sparks and the Real Boy.
Lars and the Real Woman or something like that. Yes, the Ryan Gosling vehicle.
What would you do if your child came home with a real doll and we had to pretend like it was a person? Because I don't give a fuck if my son or daughter comes home, as long as they are happy and healthy, and that's all that matters to me. I would be like, bro or daughter, ma'am, I don't know if this is the healthiest thing, because right now you're feeding the synthetic doll all of the turkey that I wanted to have, and I know the turkey it doesn't need no turkey.
I think that number one, let's not, because it comes down to, as the patriarch of this family, you know what really comes down to it? I don't want to ruin my holiday. So I actually would
prefer. Are you going to honk it? Probably honk its boobs.
Of course.
Well, that's,
like,
that's
not. Let me get a try. But then if he gets mad, then I'll be like, I'll respect your boundaries. Do whatever you want. But when it really comes down to my main thing with what I would say to my child is make sure that they have like a job and make sure that they're not like inside of my house.
Well, for $6,000, they better have a job. That's a very expensive date. What would you do if someone was having dinner with a real doll? And let's say I'm having dinner with a real doll because I said I want my dogs and real dolls. And somebody came and honked her.
Oh, that's technically sexual assault. You'd freak out.
But it's a doll.
I know. It's a slippery slope. We're in this. We're already.
What are the cops going to do?
You're already living in the world of you have a doll girlfriend. Those rules are now, that is your girlfriend.
But if the same rules apply. Cops and be like, he honked my girlfriend's boobs.
The cops are going to laugh at you. Yeah. They are going to laugh at you. They're not going to take you seriously. But me as your friend, unfortunately, I will have to take you seriously.
Thank you.
And I will protect your real doll. I'll fight for your real doll girlfriend. I promise you I will. I will be there. I will not acknowledge that you paid for an extra seat on an airplane for her. I won't
Thank
acknowledge
you.
That you, we
it's
had
Blortha.
Had a, I know Blortha.
Blortha.
Loves,
Blortha.
I don't. I
don't
what
call
country
her
is she
Blortha.
From?
Blortha?
Hmm?
She's from.
Back of her.
Yeah.
Taiwan.
I'll have to name him. I don't know. Maybe like Ben's Village.
Oh, Ben's Village.
My creativity is not good because it's 4:20 and I'm already fantasizing about being stoned. Anyway,
No, I
treat
just don't know,
your
man.
Friends. I go no. Sex you're, doll.
You're the
with
one.
Respect.
You're code switching on me because you
I'm not code switching.
At first, you say number one, you think that these people are strange, but then you put yourself in the scenario where you are the one with the real doll and you are imagining your life with this real doll. And imagine there's a part of me that you just like the idea of a permanently quiet relationship.
You know, I actually like someone who is louder so I can be quiet.
I would love
I don't
it.
Like to talk that much in public.
I want someone else to speak. That's what I like, because it's nice, because all we do is scream.
Blortha, she's going to be screaming nonstop. I actually, now that I think about it, might get six sex dolls just to put in my windows and scream at my neighbors for me.
I have to support this.
All right. Well, also just an adjacent story that really isn't much of a story, but just be careful if you're walking from Los Angeles to San Francisco, or driving rather. There's a dude in a bear suit who is walking 400 miles. It sounds really cute, but then also I'm just going to wait to see how it reads out, because how it rolls out, because it's also kind of creepy, because he's 33 years old, and he says he just loves teddy bears and he identifies as a child.
That's fine. Hey, whatever you got to do, just leave him alone. Just let him walk, all right? Just if you see him, just fucking let him walk. Just don't speak to him. Just keep moving on, because that's he's in his realm. He's in his sphere. You're in your sphere. You're driving, right?
Yeah.
You just keep driving.
He says, this is just what I want to do. I just want to run marathons in bear suits. It makes people happy.
He can.
And the laughter and smiles. I'm also very tainted now because I just finally finished the John Wayne Gacy documentary, and I'm starting to not trust anyone who wants to solicit smiles or laughter.
That's the problem. You can't trust a comedian. What's nice about a comedian, though, in the end, is that when you meet a comedian, you find out how sad they are.
Yeah.
Next week, I will talk about this another article from The Drive that you should read, honestly, because both, like, you know, my alien hackles raise and I get mad, but The Drive
so
is a really good...
So much UFO footage, bro.
It's huge. But this story is actually very interesting and is about... the Pentagon is acting like the pyramid UFO that we saw last week. They're trying to act like they are UFOs because they are trying to cover for the fact that we have been slyly invaded by low-tech style drones from other countries. It's very complicated. Read
it
this
is,
article
my-
in The Drive, because you should read it, because it really does a good job of saying, well, this is why this whole storyline is so complicated.
Isn't it just an extension of the weather balloon conversation?
It is.
They're just saying it's a drone. But again, there was a great article in the Military Times talking about drone tech, because
in 2019, they had worked with aerospace firms to create realistic TIE fighter drones.
Well, you know they got them. What are they called? The Ganghams? Whatever those big old robots are called.
What?
The Guggenheims?
The Gundams. There's one, and it's more of a sculpture than anything
else. No, it moves.
It just can lift its knee. Can't even do anything, but soon. Oh, soon, please, soon. But Disney showed that you can do realistic looking. They did a TIE fighter battle over Disney World like 3 years ago when the Star Wars World
things
came out.
Are light.
Yes, they are actual TIE fighter shaped drones. But what they did was they showed it. Basically, the human eye can be fooled very easily.
Yes, it can.
And it's just important to add that into your reasons why there are weird things in the sky, because they also could be designed to specifically look weird so that when you looked at them, you would think that it's a UFO.
I would say push back slightly on the drone conversation. The U.S. drones are the best drones in the world. Look no further than when one of our drones went down, I believe in Iran, and they were absolutely, well, they got the drone back. But our tech is so high when it comes to the drone. I can't imagine a foreign country putting a drone over our White House, because that is literally Independence Day. If they were alien, they would explode.
No,
White
it's
House.
Weird.
It would be a massive red flag, and I think the U.S. military would scramble a whole boatload of planes.
It's fucking,
so who knows?
It's very, very complicated. And that's why you look at it and you wonder, like, how they can use... It's more about showing how they can use these storylines and the media to, like, fuck with you, no matter what side of the story they're on.
Yeah, it isn't. Endlessly fascinating stuff with the disclosure and how the Pentagon is angling the conversation.
But next week I'll do some more UFO
stories. Okay, great. Well, let's just hop into Hero of the Week, shall we? This week's Hero of the Week is a man you probably heard of him. He was a big old basketball player. I believe he has 4 rings. It is Shaquille O'Neal. He pays off an engagement ring for a fan because, quote, he's just trying to make people smile. Yes, I know I just said you shouldn't trust anyone who wants to make people smile.
You did.
But you know what?
Shaq is cool.
Shaq is cool. So Shaq, that's very nice of you. And it's not just Shaq that's Hero of the Week, but anyone who gives and does nice things for people, you're the Hero of the Week. So this is what Shaq had to say during Wednesday's NBA on TNT, which is a fantastic show because I love Kenny the Jet, Charles Barkley. I love that entire crew. This is what he says. Shaq says, I seen a guy come in. He was just so shy and he was saying, hey, how much do I owe to pay off my ring? And then obviously Shaq was at a jewelry store. And then Shaq says, you know what, buddy? Don't worry about it.
Wow.
So that's just a nice thing that he was able to him. Do. And
there was also that guy who saved the family from a fire.
Yeah. But did he help?
Is he Shaq? No, he's not.
No, he is not.
Welcome to the land of branding.
Absolutely. That's how it goes. So he humbly insisted the gesture wasn't something new and in fact was similar to acts of kindness that he strives to perform, quote, every day. Isn't that nice to have that much money?
It is.
Because then you can give it away.
This is also why it's one of those stories that we're all supposed to be like, thank you, capitalism, for giving us this one man who'll spend his money.
Oh,
this
my God.
One man who'll do it.
Well, many men do it.
They do.
Yeah, many people do. Charles Barkley is quite giving with his money.
I buy someone once a week. I buy someone the Starbucks behind me in the drive-thru. Yeah, I do. And I don't ask for thanks.
I would just be uncomfortable. I'd be like, did you poison it?
I always look to see if it's a family. I never do it for a solo man. I only ever do it if it's a family or if I try to do it if it's an old woman.
I just feel like if I got that, I'd be like, ah, yes, he's trying to make amends with the Lord. He must have done something horrible.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So there you go, Shaquille O'Neal, and anyone out there who helps anyone out there when it comes to, we'll say financial need, because that's the premise of the week with the conversation there when it comes to Shaq. So there you go, Shaq. Congrats.
Here we go. Here's some listener emails. These are both two emails about prisoner gimmicks, which I think it's really fun. Gentlemen, good day to you. I'm inquiring about your latest side stories regarding prison gimmicks. I'm just from the outside of Detroit, and coincidentally, the Tickle Me Elmo fucker was at the home of my girlfriend's sister's friend.
What?
Yep, that's great.
What do you mean?
Yep, he was there. That's the guy. That was the inspector. He was in there.
Okay.
Also, the person that posted the Prancer video, who posted the Prancer like post, whatever it is, that also was a listener. Her name is Hot Little Mongoose.
Hot Little Mongoose. Fantastic. Thank you.
Here we go. Anyways, back to the gimmicks. While you're locked up, now I did county time for a second DUI, but I did a full year. Not fun, let me tell you.
Nope.
But hey, man, it made me appreciate my freedom. First off, from the moment you were booked, you were profiled by inmates. I came in with long hair and a beard, and the first thing I heard in booking was, oh man, they done arrested Jesus.
Woo!
And that stuck for a long time. I was Jesus. I became weed Jesus once my profession was known. Gimmicks are simple in the joint. Simple and elegant. Like the Jew who plays chess. Or the younger crew, the white kid who killed his girlfriend in a car accident.
What?
Or just specific crimes like dog thief, wife beater. There was also a dude I worked out with everyone called the Russian, who is not Russian. In fact, he was from Yemen. He just had an accent, and the Russian stuck. I became a trustee because it knocks time off and it gives you something to do. My job about halfway through my stint was changed to food server at the two most violent blocks of the main jail.
Huh.
These dudes were the real creepy fucks heading upstate toward the Fed pens. There, my name was Hollywood. There were several reasons why the inmates would scream Hollywood at me whilst pouring their powdered milk. I like to think it was because I'm charming and handsome like a movie star.
Yeah.
It was actually probably because I'm a bit eccentric and wiry, and all of those big mean men wanted to fuck me and all my beautiful Hollywood holes. At the end of my stint, I became the preacher because every night I would shout of the glories of Satan and how he's the true savior of the criminal. If you're a sinner, you're a winner down in hell. That was a big tagline that piqued the interest of my surrounding bunkmates.
Okay.
That was probably my favorite gimmick. It got people to laugh or hate me. And I like to make people laugh. So I stuck with that one. Anyways, I love you guys so much. Thank you for doing the show.
Well, thank you so much for listening. Hopefully the lesson learned on the DUIs. Be very safe out there. The last thing you would ever want to do is hurt somebody else.
Absolutely. Don't drink and drive. And the other guy, he said the big thing he got through jail is because he had long hair. A guy called him Cobain, and they played cards with him every day.
You know?
That's
wow.
All you got to do. You just got to have one little bit.
I don't know what the frame of reference for me would be. Maybe like...
Big guy. Big guy, tall man.
Probably.
I mean, what are you in jail for?
What would I go to jail for?
What do you think?
It would be a mistake. I mean, honestly,
they call me the accountant.
The accountant. Oh, honestly, drinking and driving and accidentally hurting someone. Sure. That's a very plausible.
Oh yeah, Swervy McSwerve.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. We'll be careful out there. Also, speaking of Tall Man, I did just finish the entire Phantasm series.
It's great.
I finally watched
all
the last
the
episode.
Are great.
Ravager. Yes. Did you see Ravager?
No, I actually don't think I have.
Ravager,
seen Ravager.
From 2016. I recommend.
I'm with you. I'll watch it.
The actors actually age pretty. They're not that bad.
They're very funny because you just get to watch them age in real time.
Oh, it's so great. So anyway, check out Phantasm.
Make sure you live your life every day knowing that you can't drink and drive, but you can drink and sit.
Can you? What if you have one of those automated cars? Although they just got into a car accident.
Who knows? Sit in the back. That's always throws your keys in the back seat. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I don't know if that is true. I actually don't think that you can do that. So sit at home and drink and laugh and laugh and laugh at how the world goes whizzing by when you're just spinning, sitting in a chair.
Mm-hmm.
And then love the fact that no matter what, the best part about a beer at home is it makes your seat a little bit more fun. But some people, you are locked into alcoholism and you can't drink anymore. You could snap out of it. Or I would say to you, you know what I think that you'd like? I think you'd like fucking get back into Eggos. Remember the frozen waffles?
Oh my God, let go of it, please. Yeah. I'll fucking kill you and your entire family if you don't let go of my Eggo.
Yeah, dude.
That was the original. They added it to just let go of my Eggo.
For time.
Of course. Commercials are so short. All right, everyone. Yes, be safe. Take care of yourself. If you're looking to get healthier now that the world's starting to open up, I know people are out there running around again. We can't wait.
Cannot wait.
Take care of yourself because we have a busy life ahead of us. Okay, everyone. Hail yourself.
Hail Satan.
Magusta Lazar.
Hail me.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.